Authorities say 28-year-old Darius Wimberly was killed early this morning. Tonight, friends and family held a vigil for him, while city leaders call on the community to stay peaceful.
Police say just after 2 this morning, officers responded to a call of a man that was being held at gunpoint by another man on this street. But when they got there, no one from that home called police. Now, police say it wasn't until officers were leaving when a man on the street fired several shots toward the house and officers. Officers returned fire and hit and killed Wimberly. Now, police say Wimberly had 2 handguns on him at the time of the shooting and that he had no criminal record.
Anything to lose. I have no secrets to hide. I could just be blunt and people could judge it however they judge it.
From NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff. On the night of October 18, 2016, 28-year-old Darius Wimberly was shot and killed by Benton Harbor police officers just a few blocks away from the house where DeMario Lowe's was murdered 15 years earlier. I told you this week that today's episode would be a long-form interview, but before we get into it, I want to give you all some context. As you just heard in the intro, the official story from the Benton Harbor Department of Public Safety on the morning after the shooting was that they responded to a call to a house on Pavone Street at around 2:30 a.m. The call was for a man holding someone in the house at gunpoint. When they arrived on scene, the residents of the house said that no one had called the police. And according to the police, as the officers were on the front porch talking to the residents, a man in the street started firing a gun at them. They returned fire and killed Darius Wimberly. The very next day, BHPD released the body cam footage from one of the officers on the porch. At the time, I thought it was a smart move on their part, because it appeared to clearly show that the officers were in fact returning fire, quickly putting to rest the idea that the shooting wasn't justified. I'm about to play for you the audio from that body cam. What you're about to hear is disturbing. You're going to hear the officer yelling shots fired and a series of loud gunshots. It's intense, and if you don't think that you want to listen to it, you can skip ahead. The audio clip is only 26 seconds long, so if you just click the jump forward 30-second button right now, you'll skip right by it. I'll give you a second to do that now if you don't want to hear it. Here's the audio.
No, like I said, when they say that someone's being held at gunpoint and being hurt and stuff like that.
If you listened, you heard that there were a lot of gunshots fired. Once the video was shared, at least outside of Benton Harbor, talks of the incident died down. The general consensus was, if you shoot at the police, they're going to shoot you back. And to be honest, I never questioned what happened that night until a few months ago, when I watched a YouTube video of Darius's mother, Ayanna Johnson, giving a speech. In the speech, she shared some details of the case that I was completely unaware of. The body cam video gives you the impression that you see Darius just before the shooting started. If you watch it, I'll post a link in the description. You can see the silhouette of a man walking past the house seconds before shots ring out. I had assumed that that man was Darius, until I found out that Darius was on a bicycle when he was shot. He was not the man who was walking by. You also get the impression from the video that the officer with the body cam was the one or one of the officers who shot Darius. But in fact, Darius was shot by what most people call an assault rifle, not by the officer on the porch, but by an officer or officers out in the street. Their body cam videos have never been released. And lastly, based on the video and the police press conference the next day, it was assumed that all those shots were both Darius shooting and the police returning fire. But according to Darius' mom, who has the police reports, he was shot 9 times in the back. She also said that the police file showed that his hands tested negative for gunshot residue. Something isn't adding up. When I first met Angelique Bell, she told me that I should talk to Karate's mom about her son. She checked herself when she called him Karate because that was his nickname. And as she struggled to remember his real name, I interjected. His name was Darius. I didn't just know of Darius Wimberly. I knew Darius. Back in 2005 and 2006, I worked 3 days a week as a substitute teacher at Darius' school. That was his junior and senior year. I knew Darius very well. I played basketball with him every day at lunch, joked around with him and his buddies in the classroom. And of that entire group of kids, Darius was always my favorite. In a school that, at the time, was full of not-so-great kids, Darius was a diamond in the rough. He was smart and kind and funny. He had a few guys from the neighborhood in class with him, so every once in a while he'd try to front like he was a tough guy. But when push came to shove, Darius didn't have a mean bone in his body. My wife Becky, who worked full-time at the school for 16 years, used to laugh about how when Darius would come to school trying to act tough, one of the other teachers would call his mom, and Ayanna would always say, "You tell that boy to knock it off. He ain't a gangster." And that's all it took. Darius would snap right back into the helpful, fun-loving kid that we all knew. I've talked about this before, but these are all the reasons why both Becky and I were both so shocked when we saw the news on that October morning. Back then, whenever we would see news like this out of Benton Harbor, we would always wait nervously to hear the name, because we had so many students from the city. It was always heartbreaking to see a name that we knew, and it's happened before. But never as heartbreaking as this one. When they flashed up a picture of Darius with his name under it, we both sobbed. It couldn't be. Not Darius. The Darius we knew would never be shooting at anyone, much less the police. We just could not understand how this could have happened. But then the body cam was released, and it seemed like it was hard to argue. That's what happened. Then as the days went on, one person that we knew was constantly posting on social media that it was a setup, that Darius was murdered by the police. It was a man named Corey Moore, another guy who worked at the school with us and was closer to Darius than anyone. And I never understood why Corey, who has since passed away, was so sure that things weren't as they seemed on the video. But now I know why. After Darius graduated, Corey stayed close with him and his family. When Darius was killed, Corey saw the police reports. He heard the stories from the people on the streets, and he knew something wasn't right here. Now that takes us to today, in the interview that you're about to hear. First, I need to warn you that the audio is not the best. Ayanna came here to the studio to record this interview in person. I was expecting her, but I wasn't expecting her to show up with the entire family. It was a pleasant surprise, but I had to scramble to get an extra mic and a seat set up so we could hear more voices. Ayanna came with her mother, Darius's grandma, two of her sons, Darius's brothers, and her granddaughter, who would have been Darius's niece. In the studio, Ayanna was on a microphone, and Darius' brother Tyrone and his grandmother Lavella shared a microphone. At times, it's hard to hear Lavella and Tyrone because we had to swing the mic around back and forth to them. Erica did her very best to make sure that the interview is as clean as possible, but there are parts that just needed to be left in, despite the bad or quiet sound quality. So after a short break, we're going to get into what is more of a conversation between four people than an interview. And I also want to warn you that this interview is incredibly emotional. I personally have never struggled so hard to keep it together during an interview. Even when you don't hear me, throughout most of the discussion, I'm sitting quietly with tears rolling down my face. This one is just a little too close to my heart for me to remain professional.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
First of all, I want to introduce everybody. So I'm sitting here with Ayana Johnson.
Yes.
This is Darius or Karate's mom, Tyrone, and Lavella. Tyrone is Darius's brother, and Lavella is Darius's grandmother. And really, I don't know where this conversation is going to go. When I started doing this case in Benton Harbor, as soon as I hit the streets of Benton Harbor, the first person I talked to was Angelique Bell.
Yes.
And I heard her story with Richard. And she mentioned Karate's story, or is it Darius, as I knew him.
As you knew him.
And I just kind of, we kind of made a vow, myself and Erica, my producer, that we want this to be more about just this one case that we're working on, that we want to give everybody in this city the opportunity to speak their truth. In Darius's case, you see, I'm already tearing up a little bit. It's already near and dear to my heart. And we never met.
No.
I was a substitute teacher. And I was a fireman, and on my days off, I used to substitute at the lighthouse. And so I was there 3-4 days a week. And okay. So I had Darius all the time. My wife, Becky, was a teacher there.
Miss Gearhart.
Yeah, she was Miss Gearhart back then. She had him for a long time. But I'm just going to open the floor up to you and give you the opportunity to share whatever you want to share.
They shot my son down like a dog. In the street. They left his remains in the street. The people that live on the street and my family got buckets of water from different households and cleaned his remains up off the street. To have someone that loved kids and people on purpose that lit up any room that he walked in just shows how envious people can be of real love and fear what they can't control, because that to me is one of the main reasons they killed my son. One of many, but that being one, because he was not afraid to say no.
I think that's a good place to start. One thing that I want to make sure we don't miss is if you guys can tell me about Darius.
So Darius was born in Evanston, Illinois on September 26th of 1988. I had just turned 17 when he was born, and excited and nervous about being a mom. And it was a big step. My mom wasn't very happy about it. She had more expectations, we'll say. But he was here and he was coming, and I was extremely happy about it. And I knew his name, and I knew he would be great. I always knew that about him. He just had a magnetic smile and great energy. and was always a practical joker and just my sunshine. He was born with heart defects. He had an ASD and a VSD and an irregular shaped heart, and he spent off and on almost the first 2 years of his life in the hospital. He ended up having a hernia repair a couple times and having a patch put into his heart December 26 of 1989. Again, I knew he would be fine because he was Darius. He was going to be great. He was going to be this great guy that loved people on purpose. Time went on. It was time to go back to school. Darius was doing better and I needed a babysitter. So Evanston started a daycare and Darius was one of the first members of that daycare in our community. And that was a big deal because it allowed me to continue my education. We left Evanston and moved to Benton Harbor like 91, 92. Then it was getting close to time for him to go to school. I had another child, a girl. Her name was Ebony. So there's like 2 years and 3 months between them. And Michigan, here we come. Whole new experience, really different vibe, different energy than what I was used to where we grew up. You spoke to people on purpose. You held the door open for people. You said good morning when you came into a room or hello. And there was truly no child left behind. Then we got here and it was like a culture shock, very different from what we were used to. And I says, well, maybe we could get in and volunteer somewhere to help some kids and meet some people. So we got connected with a lady named Sharon Weeks. That's when the high school swimming pool used to be open. And I would go because I could swim and I would be like a volunteer lifeguard so the kids could swim. And Darius was like, well, me too. So it was Darius and myself, and it allowed kids in the community to be able to swim. So like from the very beginning, it was always like, what can we do? How can we help? What can we do to make things better? Then he started school and his teacher said he was the ladies' man. Then it was time to go to real school, like kindergarten, first grade. And he did great in kindergarten and we got to first grade and he started having difficulties and the class sizes got larger and they wanted him to repeat first grade. And I was like, well, we're doing homework. We're doing this. I'm not sure what's wrong. So I let him repeat because I trusted him. Went on to second grade after that and I'm like, something's wrong. So I kept requesting an IEP, requesting. I'm like, something's wrong with my kid. Something's wrong with my kid. So I was like, oh, he's got bad eyes. Okay, so we're going to check. We're going to get him some glasses. He hated the glasses. He actually attended Fairplane West. Uh-huh. It was still open then. He's got about two or three pairs of glasses up on top of the roof of Fairplane West. Actually, he did not want to wear the glasses. Getting on into middle school, Darius could not hear well either. And when he was born with the heart defects, he went into heart failure at 2 weeks old. So they done like a Lasix IV push, which affects the hearing, mm-hmm. which affected his hearing. And he needed a hearing aid. That didn't work either. Yeah. He wasn't feeling the hearing aid. So I think he had two of those. So he ended up coming to the Lighthouse. He was getting bad grades. He wasn't a bad kid. He was just, he couldn't hear. Yeah. He couldn't see well. He didn't want to wear the glasses. The kids teased him. He didn't want to wear the hearing aid. The kids teased him. The gym teachers were his teachers. So what can you really teach my son about Spanish, math, reading? He's pretty much just sitting in a classroom, not doing anything. And I'm like, this is not going to work. So we got an IED. IEP. I don't know if you remember Les Elwell. He's deceased now. And Mr. Elwell came on board and he was like, I'm going to help you get him where he needs to be. So we had a couple IEPs. And next thing you know, Darius is totally 100% at the Lighthouse. Grades improved. Personality improved. He lit up like that kid he started out as in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ta-da, he's back. This is him. Practical joker, helping everybody in class. And then he got involved in the Taekwondo. Before it was over with, he became a fourth degree black belt in Taekwondo. And he also became an instructor. So in becoming an instructor, he taught free in all the Benton Harbor area schools. And there was a little building down on Colfax. He also used to teach in the old Mercy building. So Smig's children started attending down on Colfax.
And that's the Coloma.
That's Wesley Smigelski. And he approached Darius and he was like, hey, everybody respects you. You need to let us know what's going on. And Darius was like, no. He was like, that's y'all's job. I teach mm-hmm. kids, you know, and I'm trying to keep them out of your way. And there it went. The harassment. He eventually was shying away from going to teach at the building. And I'm like, what's going on? Nothing, Mom. Nothing, Mom. And now he's grown. He doesn't want to tell me much. And he says, Mom, the police are going to kill me. And I looked at him and I was like, and he's always cracking jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of said it and walked off. And I was like, you know, sometimes you can stop. This is just, it's too much. And he was like, Mom, he was like, they don't like me. He was like, I haven't done anything to them, but they don't like me. I said, stay out their way. And he was like, they where I'm at. And I said, okay. And I said, well, do you want me? I'll come down there. And he was like, nah, Mom. He was like, I'm grown now. I was like, Darius, we can go down there. I was like, I will tell, because the man's name was Grandmaster Smith. And I said, I will tell him. So I felt like Grandmaster Smith was letting these police officers come down here and harass my son because you getting your portion in pay. That's how he ended up stop teaching. They set him up for Wesley Smigelski, set him up for a fake robbery and said that he robbed these people's house and they took his game. This guy wouldn't give Darius his game back, supposedly his friend. I was told that this dude was working with the police. I don't know how true it is.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is when my son went to get his game, they wouldn't give it to him. And he was like, give me my game. And he went in that house. He walked down the stairs. He got his game. He came out the house. They hit him with home invasion. So, and then again, yeah, then they tried to say that he fought this old man.
Was fighting him off.
On oxygen and a walker. The man's name was Michael Johnson. He's actually deceased now.
I tried to get Darius to go to the state police and harassment charges because this other officer, I don't know his first name, last name is Takamoto.
Chris Takamoto
just started picking at him and arrested him for playing his Kindle too loud walking down the street in 20 degree below zero weather. So who would, even if it was sky high, who would hear it? I mean, like, really, who was out sunning in their
Kindle little tablet?
Yeah. And who was out sunning in their yard in 20 degree mm-hmm. below zero weather? And Darius, I mean, he cold didn't bother him. And he never wore shoes at home. It just gave me the creeps. I tried to get him to go. I told him I would go with him to the state police to file harassment charges, but he didn't want to go. He just had this fatalistic view about it. He wouldn't go.
I feel like they all work together anyway. It wasn't no point.
Well, Smigelski followed me one day.
So Smigs is the one that put Takamoto on Darius because Smigs was leaving.
They were looking for Darius for something. And I said,
about the little fake robbery.
So I said, look, I have a funeral to go to, but as soon as the funeral is over, I'll look for Darius and I'll come with him. So I went to the funeral, left the funeral, and stopped by someone's house over on Columbus.
Columbus, that was Sonia's house.
And so while I'm sitting in the car talking, somebody said, there goes Smigs. He's following you. And I kind of glanced over, and so then he took off when he saw me look at him. So I whipped a U, and I went after him, and I pulled him over on the next street over. And I asked him, what the hell are you following me for? Well, we figured you were hiding Darius. I said, I told you I didn't know where Darius was and that I would find him if I could, and we would come see you. And so we just had a pretty loud altercation there in the street. His partner just stood by the car and smirked. He never said a word.
Did Smicks work? Because I know he worked in Coloma. Did he also work in Benton Harbor?
He was in Benton Harbor first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was in Benton Harbor
first. And when he knew he was going up in rank, he started going toward the Coloma Water Belief area, and he put Takamoto on Darius.
Yeah, there's just been all of their little efforts just kept snowballing forward, adding more people. Yeah, because I literally cursed him out that day. And I mean, we drew a crowd because I was just really pissed off. I'm like, I gave you my word. And then here you are following me. You know, it's like Boss Hog stuff. You know?
Right.
Because Takamoto, they been sleeping around with everybody. All through the hood. He done slept with all the little women.
Whether he married or whatever, I don't know his situation. But I know he be out there.
Karate done told me about Smigs and about, you know, as a brother rather than a parent.
Yeah.
You know, we talk different. So this thing's different. But I done heard about Smigs plenty of times. Like, I don't know what's up with him, but y'all trying to get me. You know, and I heard about Takamoto. I had an incident where I caught Darius and he came over there and police was caught. Takamoto specifically ran Darius over off a bike. You remember that?
He ran him over on his bike?
That was the second time, though.
He was chasing him.
He ran him over off the bike, and then he got out and started trying to chase Darius.
And broke his leg.
He juked him, and he slipped, fell, broke his leg. So they were saying he had a gun. And he eventually just stopped. It was like, stop. Ooh, he said, he was like, man, he was like, he told me. He said, I stopped. They put me in handcuffs, then they slammed me. And they ain't even have to do that because I stopped, you know. And they searched me and everything. I ain't had nothing on me. They said he had a gun. He didn't have nothing. They didn't find nothing after they searched the area and all of that. That was just a start.
Takamoto would see Darius walk into class and strip him down to his underwear in the middle of the street out of his karate gi.
What were they after? And I'm asking you, Tyrone, because you're younger. Why were they after him? What was their problem?
I honestly don't know.
I just feel like Darius had leader qualities. And sometimes...
I mean, besides not getting no information out of him, I don't...
So were they wanting to use him like a CI or something?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, there are informants in the city that you wouldn't expect. You know, I guess they just thought they would have got that out of him, but he
wouldn't do it.
No.
But that don't mean, you know, take it the extra mile.
And I'm not going to mention names here, but Darius and a police officer were sleeping with the same young woman.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's a reason for that, too. But that just so happened to come about afterwards.
But that was probably
part of the reason. Because they shot, two weeks before they killed Darius, Takamoto and Calvin Williams, who is now an officer in South Bend, tried to break in my house. And she caught him.
And I should have shot him.
Tell me that story.
They said Darius had done something.
They came to the house.
But Darius was in Evanston.
And it was late at night. And she was outside talking to Takamoto. They didn't even know I was in the house. I was just kind of standing back in the kitchen, just kind of peeking and listening. And something said, go in the garage. So when I came out, you can come out of the kitchen and go into the garage. And there was Calvin. I didn't know his name at that point. And I asked him, what the F are you doing in my house? Oh, I said, get the F out. And he just was like, but I, and so she was telling Calvin outside, she said Takamoto
is a. I said he a dirty cop. I said you knew. I said I ain't never seen you before. I said you need to get to know these people for yourself before you go to listening to this dirty cop. I said because he is a dirty cop,
and he's gonna steer you
and
wrong.
He's gonna and she steer totally you wrong. I told him right out in front of my
and
house.
He was the one that,
and he is the one that supposedly shot at Darius 15 times with an AR, and hit him 9 times. But there were multiple shooters. They're saying there wasn't, but the angles that they hit him at, there were multiple shooters. There's a young man that went on Facebook and bragged that he shot the first shot. Their last names are Moore. They are involved. And as soon as Darius was killed, the Moore man went into Tyrone's inbox and said, "We killed your brother, and now we coming for you."
Right before they killed him, it was like either the day before or 2 days before he had came home. Came, he was like, "Bro, police just chased me. I had to hide in the bushes. I really feel like they was just about to kill me and such and such." He's like, I don't know what their problem is, why they on me like that. I wasn't even doing nothing. They just hopped out on me like that with their guns out and everything. And I had to lay low. He like, "I don't know. I'm kind of scared. I don't, you know me, I don't really get scared, but I feel like they gonna kill me. Last time I saw him, I gave him a piece of fish, and I ain't see him at all no more after that. I was looking for him all day, and I had to go to work. And then I had got that call, you know, right after him telling me that, though. I don't remember what officers it was specifically, but it's really a long lead up on it. It wasn't just a one day in the moment thing.
Season 15 is sponsored by First Form. School's back in session, and that means everything and everyone is moving faster in my house. There's no time to lounge around in the mornings and cook a hot breakfast. At my house, we are on the move and out the door by 7 a.m. It's this time of year when First Form really comes through for me. Staying in shape, even when I'm busy, is really, really important to me. And what I've learned during my First Form journey is that I have to get a proper balance of protein in every day and track my calories. It's all about ratios. How much bang for my buck am I getting out of the food that I eat? What I mean by that is high protein with low calories. So this is my typical day during the school year. For breakfast, I mix up 2 scoops of First Form's greens with a scoop of their chocolate level 1 protein powder. I actually usually mix it up with water at night before I go to bed, and I put it in the fridge. Then when I get up in the morning, I throw down a cup of high protein yogurt, I grab my shake on the way out the door, and I drink it in my truck. That's 50 grams of protein and only 350 total calories for my breakfast, and I feel full. Then for lunch, I pack up some leftover meat from last night's dinner and a level 1 protein bar. The chocolate peanut butter pretzel is my all-time favorite, but the cookie dough and the salted caramel flavors, they come in tied at a close second. So that's usually another 50 grams of protein. And I also pack a First Form meat stick for an afternoon snack. Only 180 calories, delicious, and another 20 grams of protein. And here's the best part. What I really love about the First Form system is that I can eat whatever I want as long as I plan for it. Eating what I just described sends me into dinner with enough calories left that I can tear up a big-ass dinner. I typically finish up my nutrition for a day like this with a 12-ounce steak, some Goodles, not a sponsor, but damn, they're good, some cottage cheese, and a salad. It's a huge dinner, and I'm able to eat a massive dinner like that and lose weight doing it because I use the First Form app to track my meals throughout the day, and the First Form protein products make sure that I'm getting that great protein bang for my calorie buck. Want to lose weight and still eat like a real human being? You need to check out First Form right now. Do yourself a favor and go to firstform.com/truth, and you'll get free shipping on any order over $75. And if you're a new customer, they'll email you a link to let you try the First Form app free for a month. There's no risk here. They even have a 110% money-back guarantee. So stop making excuses and do it. That's the number 1, STPHORM.com/truth.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
I want to talk about the incident, because it seems like what actually happened isn't the perception that we have.
And they had a video. So when they did the shooting,
they edited so much of the video and cut so much of that out.
It was really only one video that they actually put out to the public that I've seen. It was an officer on the porch. They said he was coming on a bike shooting two guns. Okay, so this
20-inch Huffy bike.
This officer just...
Now you think about Darius' size.
Yeah. He starts running, saying, oh shit, oh shit. And he's shooting in the air, and he jumps the gate, and he's sitting there shooting in the air. Okay, so I don't even know what the purpose of them putting that video out. Well, I don't know why they did that, because that didn't prove anything.
Well, this is the public perception. And the first that I knew anything different was when Angelique had sent me a video, Ayanna, of you speaking about it. Because the way it was put out from anybody on the outside just watching it was there was a shooting. They immediately released body cam footage. And you see a person, to me, it looks very clearly, you see the silhouette of a person walking.
Yep. And so that don't even make sense, right? Yep. If you got a person walking right here, you got a guy behind a tree, a sniper. You got all these officers here. You have a dude just casually walking over here. And a guy supposedly on a bike wherever, you know.
And
the way they put it out was... You saw the person walking. The cops are standing on the porch. You hear shots fired. And then whoever's body cam that is, they jump off the porch and stuff. You hear a bunch of shots and that's it. And then the story put out was, what you're led to believe, was that person you see walking was shooting at the cops on the porch. And they returned fire and killed him. And that was it.
He was riding the bike. But there's a little kid that lived in the house on the other side of the park that came up to me. And the mother was like, I want to tell you something. I want you to hear this from my child. And that kid told me Darius was not shooting.
It was also a man. It's a house over there that's always getting bought and sold and worked on. Mm-hmm. It was a man in there working on that house. He said the day before, he was like, your brother was walking past. And because somebody told me to talk to him. So I went over there to talk to him. He was like, yeah, your brother was walking past. And he asked me if I needed some help. I was there working on the house. And I was like, I don't mind. Go ahead. You know, come on. So he said he helped him. And, you know, they talked for a while. He seen him the next day. And, you know, just said, what's up? But he said he was in there working late that night. He said he seen the whole thing. And he said he didn't see any flashes coming from karate. They all were coming from that way. Mm-hmm. He said he didn't see him make a move in that type of way at all. And I don't know where this man is. I tried to get in contact with him afterwards.
The first person to come into my inbox, my nickname is Poochie, a family nickname. And the first person to come into my inbox lived in that corner house that burned down. And she said, Poochie, the police just shot and killed Darius. And she was like, I can do whatever you need me to do. And then her house got burnt down and she was like, I'm scared.
Yep. She was supposed to have been a witness. And next thing you know, she's been living there longer than I left.
Where was the shooting?
On Pavone.
Pavone and...
Right by Broadway Park.
Like right by the edge of her. Because he was just sitting there on the bike.
So, have you seen any of the investigative files, any of that stuff on the...
No. I've been asking and asking and asking and asking.
Yeah, and like with the picture, they had a picture of him on the ground on the bike. So, they said he had two guns. They had a picture of him on the ground with one gun in his hand. In the right hand, but he's left-handed. But if you fall off a bike, you're not still going to be holding a gun. If you fall off a bike, you know, it's going to go flying somewhere. It's not going to be sitting there.
And he was shot by the police gun 8 times. There's an additional bullet in my son from another gun.
And I can say this.
And the boy goes on Facebook to say, I shot the first shot.
Supposedly it was somebody shooting in the backyard or started the shot in the backyard. But we don't know from the front to the back. Who knows how that.
Were there any, because the story they put out was that the whoever was in the street that they said was Darius, they said was shooting at the cops on the porch. Were there any bullet holes or anything in the house?
I didn't see none of that. I went over there a few times to ask them what happened.
But that's and, part of it, too, because that's where the little boy was.
Yeah, Pooh stole the phone. And then the phone wasn't even Darius' phone.
This is crazy. So if you,
it's when you all say bullshit.
That, right. When you say that you asked for the file, like, have you, like, gone on their site, like, filed the Freedom of Information Act request for the police file?
We did a couple FOIAs. I've only gotten information through FIGER law.
So the police department refuses to give you the file?
Nope. Every time I go down there, somebody's not working. Nobody's here. It's always something.
Mm-hmm. What did you get from the... Because I'm going to file one.
Please.
Turn the case down because of a snitch
that claimed to be part of the family that gave this whole statement to the police and was taken as the gospel.
Well, the whole story never...
No, they tried to shut it down.
When I saw it, when they released the body cam, I was just like, I told you out there, I almost broke down out there when I told you.
Yeah.
That when we saw it, first it was, oh my God, I can't believe it was Darius. And then it was, oh my God, I can't, like, not Darius. I know those kids, those kids. Yeah. There was a whole group of them back then that was there were at school.
They lying.
And we always used to say that Darius, what was funny about Darius is Darius was always trying to be a gangster, but he never
and
was.
He never was.
He was always the brightest, most helpful, sweetest kid when you need him to help something.
Yeah.
And I could not write in my mind that he would be shooting at cops.
When they killed Darius, our town cried. He's going the opposite direction because they've been harassing him for so long.
I told him to put a seatbelt on a million times. I told him to put a seatbelt on a million times.
And he was like, man, whatever. But if he see a police, he putting that seatbelt on, he ain't taking it off for the whole rest of the ride. That's all it takes. But because he just don't. That's just not.
The so word on the street, the way Angelica always puts it to me is what the streets say. What do the streets say happened that night?
It's all over the place. It's all over the place.
Does anybody think Darius was, that's what happened, was Darius was just shooting at those cops?
It was a dude that instantly made a status right after that and said that.
And then most people are like, hell no. If you look at the news, they be like, they lying.
He got on Facebook and said, before y'all say anything, that man was shooting at the police. And I seen him. When I seen this dude, I wanted to talk to him, you know, because you were there.
Right.
Everybody that was there in that house, I wanted to talk to him to find out what happened. When I seen him, he took off running. And he was on his phone. I don't know who he was calling. He just took off running, ran in the store. I ain't bothered to pursue him. You know, I'm just wondering, like, why? What was your point of running? I don't understand. I never got a story.
Is it one of the people that lived in the house?
He didn't live there. He just was there.
And I believe the police threatened most of them.
He said, before y'all say anything, he shot at the police. That man shot at the police. Now, this is a dude that used to be with my brother. He did rap battles and stuff. And this was one of the rap battle guys. So they were real close. For him to say something like that was just out of line, period.
Is that the boy with no hand?
No. That was who house he was at. The boy with no hand, mama. He was at her house. When he left to go get his phone.
From what I can see from what was publicly available, the first thing that I know is in Erica, my producer and I were watching the other day, and it was like, we could see there's clearly a person that walks. Clear as day. And that's what I didn't know until I heard you give that speech, that Darius was on a bike. Yeah. I'm like, that person that's walking right there is not on a bike. That person is. So was there there was another person in the street?
You never hear about that person, do you?
Takamoto was off duty when he was there. I don't know what he was even there for if you were off duty.
Well, and then I always thought that it was somebody from the porch that had shot him. And then I just heard a rumor the other day
in the back
that there was another officer with a
with an AR-15 or some kind of rifle out on the...
Hidden behind a tree.
I knew they were like out in the street somewhere and were
shooting. And they went down the street and made everybody on the block go in their house. So this was like premeditated.
And I believe there was, SWAT. But
they said the ambulance came and left.
There was more police presence there than
normal.
Prior to
him being,
See, the story they told was they just got a call for a domestic. And they showed up.
And then they said it's a hostage situation.
So it was a guy that I was into it with for all my life. And supposedly.
Moore. Last name Moore.
He called the police and said he was being held hostage by karate.
You're right.
And they came as a hostage situation. Now, mind you, the last hostage situation in Benton Harbor was out in the projects and they had the whole project surrounded completely. Yeah. Now, this situation, hostage situation, they walked over there. No lights or nothing. They walked to the scene and all of this happened.
Well, I mean, the people listening to this couldn't hear me just shake my head in amazement at that. Like, so the story that the police gave the public back then was domestic violence call and just happened to be why they're dealing with this. Random Darius goes walking by and starts shooting at him, and that was the entirety of it. They're cordoning off the street, and now they're saying that they're saying Darius, who happened to be now the guy that's on the bike out in the street.
Yeah,
they're saying they got a call that he was holding somebody,
and
don't fit at all.
The guy that made the call, his sister is the one who
is sleeping with the officer and
was sleeping with Takamoto and Darius.
Wait, who was she? How was she connected to the case?
It's a family that I was into it with. We always were fighting. And every time Darius came, they just took off.
I don't know if you have access to, it should be public record. There were these people that lived down the street from us that continuously harassed Tyrone.
Darius said, this is why it happened though. He's like, I'm tired of fighting them. I'm sleep around with a sister. Hurt him in a different way.
But that's a Darius thing. So, fits.
Yeah.
And now with us being arch nemesis, she didn't have a problem. She's just right along with it. So that happened. And Takamoto just so happened to be in a secret situationship with her outside of whatever his real life is.
And then she was the one that called?
Nope. Her brother one that called and said he was being held hostage that night. And like I said, Takamoto was there off duty. He wasn't on duty that night. He wasn't supposed to be there. And he was there. And wait, like I said, Takamoto had broke his leg. It come back. When everything came back, his leg was broke.
Same leg that Takamoto broke.
Who else's leg was broke?
Karate.
Darius's leg.
They didn't say it. It had to come through the autopsy.
Somebody stomped on his leg.
After they shot him?
Yeah.
So his leg was broke that night.
Yeah.
Now, this is a black belt. What do he use? His legs. It ain't finna just go out easy.
Right.
Yeah, it wouldn't even sit right in the casket. I'm just tell you that.
This is after taking 9 shots to the back.
Yep.
So what do you think happened?
I feel like that Moore boy was at that house. And I feel like they had a boy take the phone and it was somebody else's phone and Darius was always a hero. And he went and knocked on that door. First of all, Darius know that boy is scared.
Well, somebody told him that he was outside. I don't know how it actually got all the way over there. I think that was just something that happened. How he got over there. I know that phone got stole, blah, blah, blah. But to get Darius off of him, the one that stole the phone, he like,
old boy
in here too. The one that's, and then they had just recently tried to jump me. Why don't you hit me with a stick or something, I think.
Yeah, bust you, hit you in the head.
With that pipe.
Right? Hit him with a metal pipe.
Right. And
and the father was the ringleader. We called the police.
Was Darius, I'm just trying to track all this. Was Darius in that house at some point that night?
He only went to the door to get the phone.
And the kid that stole the phone was like, hey, old boy in here,
he was
too.
Like, well, you know,
but I can get your phone back. I can get your phone back.
So they had stolen Darius's phone.
Mm-hmm.
Cedric's phone. It was Jamie brother Cedric.
He just went to get it.
Okay.
Playing basketball, the kid stole the phone, right?
So I'm not sure. All I know is it was Cedric's phone.
And the kid told him that the dude was in the house that he went to. And the dude was in there scared.
And the dude called his dad. And his dad called Takamoto because he knew his daughter was sleeping with Takamoto too. And said that got my son over here. And Takamoto said, call it in as a hostage situation. I feel like he made a phone call. That's why they came in with all the lights off. And everybody wasn't alerted to this hostage situation. Because when it's a hostage situation, they come and light it up.
And see, they should be able to check cell phone records.
And dispatch log to see if that call even actually came in. Because they didn't, from my recollection, I don't recall ever it being reported that anything was called in as a hostage
situation.
They said it was a domestic violence.
They parked all the vehicles down by BJ's.
Mm-hmm.
And the officers all walked down and made all the people go in their houses.
I know I seem confused because this is a confusing story.
Very much so.
Because, their story
they
to
They killed
you,
my son on purpose. That's what they did. They killed him on purpose because they couldn't control him. He wasn't going to work for them. He was stopping gang violence. He had created something with his friends called a Spaz League. So instead of these kids being out here fighting, they was rap battling each other and smoking weed. Okay, they ain't fighting and killing each other. And then the crowd picked the winner. And if you don't like the outcome, you go home, you write another rap, you come back next week and we do it again. But we alive to do it again.
He was taking it to other
Police
cities too.
Police need crime.
Spreading it out.
This was in Kalamazoo. This was in Indiana. This was in Indianapolis. He went viral with it. California. It was everywhere. And it was bringing a cease to a lot of fighting. For those people that just had to fight, licensed professional boxer. They got together. They bought all the gear. If you just got to fight, you're going to fight right here with the gear. And once this is over, this is it. And it was working. My son would get those kids in the community that didn't have daddies or kids that was getting in trouble in school, and he was taking them down to Broadway Park. He was giving them free lessons. He was calling me to bring tons of hot dogs and buns and juice boxes. And he was spending time with them. You could ride past that park and you see a bunch of little kids all lined up doing taekwondo because they couldn't afford to go down there to that building. That was the police kids, prosecutors, lawyers, attorneys, doctors, because they could afford it.
And to this day at 30, it's a lot of people that still come to me like, man, if it wasn't for your brother, I wouldn't know how to defend myself, you know, and just stand up for myself.
I have gay people come up to me and say, your son is the reason I can walk around the hood. But if you go to the news, they say he hated white people. He hated gays. He was all of this. And it's like, what the hell are you talking about? You give that boy a bow and arrow, he's the happiest kid in the world.
Right.
You know, so what are you talking about? He had more white friends than black friends. Sorry. They went hunting. Sorry. He liked white water rafting and skiing.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it have to be a white sport from a black sport? How come when you see him with the same BB gun you see his friends with is the problem?
I had a food delivery yesterday and a gentleman pulled up. You know, he called and said, I'm on my way. And so I went out in the driveway. And when he got out of the car, he said, aren't you Karate's grandma? And I said, yeah, who are you? You know, and he says, oh, he did a lot for me. And I hear that all the time. You know, yeah. People I don't even know.
I remember back because he was doing lessons for people in high school when he was still in high school.
For free. He taught everything he did was for free.
I'm probably the only person that didn't take a lesson. go to class. I got lessons at home.
I remember we'd always play basketball, me and all.
And the teachers, even. I remember when
him and Corey Moore and Larry Shane used to play with
him. Oh, and Mr. Moe.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know the dance, didn't you?
Huh?
You knew Mr. Morpay.
I did hear that, yeah, recently.
Yeah, but we became family. He actually spoke at Darius's eulogy.
Mm-hmm.
Still our family. I still see his kids on a regular and his ex-wife, and we spend a lot of time together. But Mr. Moore was good for my son. They were good for each other. And I'm telling you, after Darius died, it was like Mr. Moore went downhill real bad. And we didn't know what to do. We tried.
It's always hard, but it was especially hard, I think, because, you know, we had all sorts of kids come through that school.
And he was like, Mom, I know what it's like for kids to tease you. I know what it's like. And then my glasses, my hearing aids. He was like, I hated that shit.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, I hate for somebody to bully somebody.
And that was the thing. He was always the good one.
Yep.
He was the one. The other guys that pick on him a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't. But then they would sit there and wish. I remember we had a kid. You probably know he was. His name was Carvel.
Yeah.
Carvel and what was it? They called him Darkness. What was his name? Marcus, I think.
I remember.
Yeah,
most
they nicknames.
Of them.
Yeah, and they would be kind of picking on him a little bit, and then they would even whisper to him, like, you know, he's a good dude, man. He gives lessons to these kids, and he's doing all this stuff. Like, and
he loved it.
While you were telling your story, and I'm just sitting here, since I started working in this city. We've been going around. I've had meetings with Angelique, a couple of them, and talking, like, because I don't want to just go tell a story. I want to do something.
Yeah.
And when you were telling me that he was doing something,
I swear, he was making a major difference, and they hated it because they couldn't control it.
That's all I was hearing when you were telling me this story, is like he was doing something.
Yeah. They had stripped him from teaching. The police did it.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't mean he didn't have the knowledge and he couldn't continue to share it. And that's what he did. I remember saying to my son, why are you down here? Why are you over here being bothered? And he was like, Mom, I can't believe you would say that. He was like, you always told me to love people on purpose. He was like, I love these kids. I love my community. He was like, shame on you, Mom. And I couldn't do nothing but hold my head down because he threw right back in my face. Our first steps here together. We got to do this. We got this. You know, we're different. We got this. We going to put Evanston on Benton Harbor. And we did.
Yeah.
And we did. We showed them what sunshine was really like. We showed them what unconditional love was and is. Because I still do a lot for the community.
What do we do now? Like, again, I don't want it to just be a story. What do we do now?
And something about them police, man. They don't even.
I've been to so many different states looking for attorneys. And they're like, you're in the land of the Nazis. You'll never get justice. And I say, you know, I'm not going to accept that, but okay.
I mean, Berrien County is what Berrien County is. It's
horrible.
So in 2016, my hair was the length of my mom's, and I made a vow to not cut my hair until I get justice for my son. This is where I'm at now. It's every day. It's every day.
And it, like, destroyed
our entire family.
Yeah.
The police was harassing us. I would try to travel and go speak. I needed people to know that they killed my son on purpose.
Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production, co-written and produced by Erica Bergenham. Music for Season 15 is created and composed by Caden Ladislaw. Follow-up episodes are co-hosted by Janet Varney and Zach Weaver. Our logo font was created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Our website is created, managed, and maintained by Katie Ross of createdintandem.com. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Erica Cantor, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Kaywood Yomnick, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Athey, and Caroline Dwyer.
Truth and Justice provides all investigative and advocacy work for the wrongfully convicted completely free of charge. We're able to do that in large part thanks to you, our listeners, through your generous pledges on Patreon. Patreon accounts for the overwhelming majority of our funding. The number one way you can support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. For just $5 a month, you'll get all episodes ad-free, a bonus pregame episode every Wednesday, and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups exclusive to our patrons. Patrons also get to participate and join the chat live in many of our interviews and get early access to much of our content. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny and goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. You can always keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the official Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. You can also connect with us on social media platform X at Truth Justice Pod. And to follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found at Bob Ruff Truth. Janet can be found at Janet Varney. And Zach is at Z to the Q. However you do it, stay engaged and stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.